Hallelujah to God. I'm glad we've got a God that loves us today. And, you know, I think the world really probably is looking at God's people today, and like they did around the cross, they're mocking and reviling God's people and mocking us. And one thing or another, about like Sanballat and Tobias did when Nehemiah built the wall. And they're laughing and poking fun, just like they did when Noah built the ark. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. They'll be laughing out of the other corner of their mouth if they don't come to God. It's going to be like we say it's going to be. That's right. Somebody said, you sound dogmatic. I am. I've got a Bible in front of me right there. I know what it says.
Amen.
And it's going to be just like I said, like we say it's going to be. Right there. Because we say it's going to be exactly the way the Lord says it's going to be. We've read His book. And I know what the end of it's going to turn out like. And I'm not glorying in the fact that people are going to hell. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, some of them that point their finger at us and laugh and smirk, they're going to wind up in an eternal flame without God and without hope. And as my daddy used to say, the shoe will be on the other foot. Or they'll be laughing out the other corner of their mouth. That's right. And the world, they poke fun at us. You know, you can go out in public and people that you know are worldlings. I'm talking about businessmen, bankers and businessmen that are out. They're cordial to you. They want your business and they're cordial to it. But I guarantee they're laughing under their breath. And when you leave, they think you're a fool. When they ask me, how in the world do y'all pay all these bills? When the banker said, how do y'all manage to pay the bills you've got and the income you have? I say, we live by faith, sir. And when I walk out, you know, I'm sure he thinks, what an idiot. What an idiot. We want everything today on paper. We want to see what it says, you know. Want everything down on paper. And so we can weigh out figures and things of this nature. But I'm going to tell you what, friend, in God's family, it's more than just figures and what two and two coming up for. I have seen two and two come up five a lot of times with God. Amen. I've seen two and two come up ten. Amen. That's right. I mean, God just works that way. Hallelujah to God. I'm just simply saying God, little as much when God's in it.
Amen.
Yeah, He can take five loaves of bread and two little fish, just little fishes, small fishes, and break it and add His blessings to it and feed the multitudes with it. And I'm going to tell you the miracle of it all. When it's all said and done, take up 12 basketfuls of fragments. That's a whole lot of fragments. Amen. That sure is a lot of fragments. Well, let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the Song of Solomon, chapter number 4. Okay? Solomon's Song and chapter number 4. Let's stand together. Beginning in verse number 1. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the tower of David, builded for an armory, wherein there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men.
Amen.
Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies.
Amen.
Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the Sunday school hour and for the good song service, the good spirit amongst Your people. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have to worship today and to preach the Word of God. Father, I pray this morning that our hearts, Lord, would be changed, that our lives would be changed for the glory of God, that we'd leave this building being a better Christian than we were when we came in. Lord, that we could depart from this place being stronger in faith, showing more grace, being filled with the Spirit of God, And Lord, understanding thy love. I pray, Father, this morning for old sinners that you'd save them by the good grace of God. I pray for Mr. Stevens and his family. The gentleman that called last night, that God, that you'd give them grace during this trying time in their life. The grief that is in their heart, I pray you'll replace it with joy, unspeakable even, and full of glory. Help us in this place this morning. I need a touch of God, the power of God's Spirit. Help me, Lord, to say everything that ought to be said to this people. And Lord, you know my frame and my need that I have. And God, I know except the Spirit of the living God comes to speak through me and anoint the words of Lord that are spoken and to quicken thy word to our hearts, that nothing will be accomplished. So I pray for that fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost of God, the power and the liberty I pray to preach. Help my mind to think clearly, my body to move properly. Help my eyes to look toward the people and, Lord, toward heaven at the same time. Help me to get a hold of the throne of God's grace, that thy people may be blessed indeed. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse number 5 will be our text this morning, where Brother Solomon said, "Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies." Now, I want to preach on that verse of Scripture this morning, and I might say some things that I hope that you'll take them in the proper perspective. I don't intend to say anything that sounds off color to you, but I do want to bring the message and try my best to expound the verse in light of what God's given me. And I want to try to preach this morning on the thought, breasts of blessing. He's talking about the church, referring to the church and her beauty. And he mentions here that her breasts, he said, they are beautiful. They're like young roes, twins, that feed among the lilies. And our Lord here is describing, again, I think, the very seventh and the final part that describes the beauty of His church. Her breasts are said to be like two young roes who are twins. And by their being twins, the Lord is saying that they are equal in size and shape, and therefore having no signs of deformity in them. They're twin breasts. They are not deformed in any way. I want to say to you, my friend, on the authority of the Bible, that God's church has no flaws in it. Yes, sir. Now, a lot of people criticize the church, but God is coming after a church, Brother Mark, without spot and without wrinkle. In fact, just two verses down, Solomon says there about the church, "There is no spot in thee." Brother, I'm glad, thank God, that we've been saved and our souls have been made pure by the blood of the Lamb. And as a church, we have been washed, my friend, by the washing of the water and by the Word of God. Hey, our Lord is coming back after a church, my friend, that is perfect in every respect. Because He is perfect, He is perfecting a church. We're all going to come in, my friend, to the unity of the faith and come into a perfect body in Christ. Now, that just blows my mind this morning, how God can take an old drunkard or an old harlot or an old thief or an old card player, and by the grace of God, I mean, set them down in the church and purify them by His own blood. And my friend, take that which is unholy and make something holy out of them. He said, "Your breath breasts are like two young roses that are twins, and there is absolutely no flaw. There's no deformity. They're in perfect shape. They are exactly what I've made them to be. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. You and I could not change what we are this morning. We are what we are by the grace of God. Now, I'm here to tell you the church is what she is by the workings of God. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, I'm telling you, He's working on a vessel, my friend, that is absolutely flawless. There's no mistake in it. There's no deformity in it. And someday we'll shine as the firmament of heaven. Over on the other side, God will set us up as trophies of the grace of God. Amen. And let the world, hallelujah to God, the devil and all the imps of hell pass by just to see what grace can do in the life of one old sinner that's been saved by the good grace of God. Harold Sattler, you Satan, take a crooked stick and draw a straight line with it. And how true, how wonderfully true that is. By being twins also may express the fullness of them. Now don't pay no attention to that little baby. Listen to me. It may express the fullness of them. You know, her little sister said in chapter 8, she said, I don't have any breasts. In other words, she's not yet filled out. She's not yet full. But by the expression, twin breasts, are there twin rows, my friend leaves us with the idea that they are in their fullness. Now, I'm here to tell you the church ought to walk in the fullness of the Spirit of God. Son, we live in a day when if Baptists talk about being full of the Holy Ghost, it's just about a cuss word. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, there's nothing wrong with the church walking in the fullness of the Spirit of God. I want to remind you that it was on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God came, my friend, and filled the whole house where they were sitting. In other words, the entire church was filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I'll tell you what folks think today, that the pastor ought to be filled with the Spirit, or that the deacons ought to be filled with the Spirit, or the song leader ought to be filled with the Spirit, or the piano player, or the Sunday school teacher, or those that stand up and sing special music. But I'm telling you, friend, I'm longing for the day when the Holy Ghost of God will baptize this church in the Spirit and in power, and we'll have a church that is full of the Holy Ghost of Almighty God. I want to say right there that what revival is God's people getting filled up with God and bringing God down to the church house. Amen. Now, they're not the breaths of the church. They're not dry or empty breaths. They are both full. And each one of them a fountain of nourishment. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying you ought to be able to come down to the church house and nurse, my friend, on the breast of the church. Oh, somebody said, Preacher, that sounds terrible. I can't help it what it sounds like. Just like a little baby, my friend, lays its head in the bosom of its mama and draws nourishment from her breasts, maybe one today and the other tomorrow. So the church of the living God, people ought to come to the church, my friend, and draw nourishment out of the house of God. Hey, Brother Hall, out of the singing, my friend, out of the preaching of the Word of God, out of the fellowship with one another, out of exhorting one another, we ought to draw strength and nourishment from the breast of the church house. Amen. Now before I bring the message, I want to mention some possibilities. You listen to me now. I want to mention some possibilities of interpretation that this might mean. There are some people that believe that the twin breasts here represent the tables of stone containing the law that Moses received. Five commandments on one stone and five on the other stone. Well, that may be, but I'm going to be quite honest with you. That wouldn't do a great deal for the church. He's not talking about Old Testament saints here. He's talking about the New Testament church that is made up of both Jew and Gentile in one body. He is not talking about the Old Testament saints. Now, still others interpret them to mean the two testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. These two breaths, the Old and the New Testament, they, my friend, they are certain, they, that these two breaths contain and impart the whole sincere milk of the Word. I'm here to tell you, you can't have one of them without the other one. Hallelujah to God. They're just like two gloves on the right and the left hand. You find in the Old Testament, the New Testament enfolded in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, the Old Testament is revealed to mankind. And you cannot take them away. It is there that we receive the whole milk of the Word of God. One writer said, in fact, said that they provide milk for babes and meat for men. And I think that ought to be right. Amen. Hallelujah to God. We've forgotten what the Word of God is today. Amen. I'm sick and tired of this crowd telling me, preacher, I'm in the age of grace, and so don't you preach the Old Testament and the law of Moses to me. I'm going to tell you something, friend. It was the law that was a schoolmaster that brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ. For if the law had not said that a man should not covet, I wouldn't have known that it was wrong. But thank God the law of God hanged me out over hell, condemned my soul. Amen. Showed me I was guilty and are going to hell. But when, oh yes, when the Holy Ghost pointed me to the Calvary and the grace of God, I realized that I was set free by the good grace of Almighty God. Amen. The breasts here, they provide nourishment, strength, and growth for little children. That is your strength this morning. I want to say to some of you in here, you cannot neglect the Word of God. Amen. And be strong. Amen. You can't neglect the Bible and be right with God. Amen. Somebody said, well, I wonder why I'm as weak in the faith as I am, or why I cannot resist temptation like I ought to, or why I can't seem to get over the hump and be what I ought to be for God. It may be, my friend, because you have neglected the Word of God. Oh, my friend, it's a lamp under our feet, and it's a light under our path. Its words are like honey out of the honeycomb. It is better than gold, yea, than much fine gold. I'm here to tell you, by the Word of God, the servants of God are taught right from wrong. And I'm here to tell you, you cannot, my friend, find nourishment apart from that Bible. Amen. The bosom, or the breasts, are also a place of rest and safety for little ones. That's right, the church ought to be a place of rest. Amen. Place of safety. Amen to God. The promises and the prophecies of the Old Testament have their completeness in the New Testament. Amen. The Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. When it talked about the Passover, when it talked about the brazen serpent, when it talked about the rock that gave water and the manna that came out of heaven, all these, my friend, were just a shadow of the real which was to come. And like our son, my son, said in Sunday school this morning, son, that shadow became the Lord Jesus Christ and fulfilled everything that the Bible's got to say. I'm glad, thank God, He is our rock this morning from whom we can drink until we're satisfied. Hallelujah. He is our brazen serpent if we'll look to Him. Our sins shall be forgiven. And thank God we can come this morning and eat manna to the full. Amen to God. And leave the house of God being satisfied on the manna that God has fed us from heaven. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But that's not what I want to preach on this morning. I'm going to go right back basically to where I was last Sunday. Not exactly there, but getting close to it. I want to interpret these breaths of the church. He said, thy two breasts are like two young roes. Your two breasts. Now, I'm going to tell you what I thought of, buddy, when I got thinking about the breasts. I got thinking about a place of love and affection. Now just hang loose, okay? I thought about a place of love and affection. I've seen women. I remember my cousin, where they used to breastfeed in public and nobody thought a thing about it. But I remember Dolores, my oldest cousin, my uncle's daughter. One or two of her children, that little old Methodist church, that she had dropped that shoulder strap down and lay that little baby in her breast and lay a blanket over it and sat in the house of God and nurse that little baby. Oh, yes. Now, I'm going to tell you what, buddy. That little baby come to realize that mama's bosom was a place of real love and affection. Yes, sir. You pick up a child today, little old Boo Bear, come running in my office this morning. The first thing she did, she said, "Pop, I don't feel." I said, "How you doing?" She said, "I'm fine, but I don't feel good." And I picked her up and set her up on my knee, and she laid her head over on my shoulder. And why, Brother Hall? Because that is a place of love and affection. Now, I'm here to tell you, my friend, the church ought to be a place of love, and it ought to be a place of affection. My God, help us. Most churches in the country today are no more than a battleground. Half the church on one side are raising hell with the church on the other side, or people falling out with the preacher, and people can't get along with one another. Grudges toward one another, unforgiven spirit, hatred and animosity in our hearts. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, we might sign a peace treaty on the outside, but if it has not been consummated in our hearts, there can be no real love and there can be no real affection, my friend, at the church house until we have done business with God, not externally, but death in the depths of our heart, my friend. I'm telling you now, abideth faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is charity. You read over in the book of 2 Peter the virtues that we have, the Christian virtues. He said, add ye a faith virtue and ye a virtue knowledge, and on down to brotherly kindness and the brotherly kindness charity, which is love. Now, I'm here to tell you, my friend, the house of God ought to be a place of love, and it ought to be a place of affection that people on the outside might know by the love that we have for one another that we are the children of God. I'm going to tell you why churches can't go forward this morning. Too much bickering. Too much quarreling. Too many grudges. Too much jealousy. Yeah, amen to God. Too many unforgiven spirits. What grieves the Holy Ghost? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're saved and sealed in the day of redemption. Amen. Therefore, put aside or put away from you all malice and envy, amen, and jealousy and strife. Hallelujah to God. Oh, and I'm just telling you, my friend, that the house of God, those two breasts, amen, we ought to be a house of love and affection. Oh, I'm a praying that when men come on these grounds and women during our Jubilee, that they'll not come into a place that is cold and icebergy and indifferent. But, buddy, when the automobile drives across that covered out yonder, when the feet step across the threshold of Island Ford Baptist Church, that men and women, boys and girls, might know that there's a God in heaven that dwells in this place. And He's got a people whose hearts have been filled with the love of God. Amen. Because it's been shed abroad in their hearts. And they are ready, my friend, not only to love the Lord and to love themselves, but to share that love with those around them. Amen. Love and affection. We don't know much about it today. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. Most churches, most preachers you talk to, if you're not meaner than a dog, you just ain't God's man. Are you listening to me? Thy two breasts. Jesus said, your breasts, they're like two young roes, and they're twins. And son, I'm here to tell you, you can't set it apart. The breasts are known as a place of love and affection. Amen to God. Amen. And there should be love within.
Amen.
There should be love without. And there should be love upward to the children of God. Oh, may God help us today, hallelujah to God, to learn how to love. loving the Lord with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, my friend. That's what I'm talking about. Amen to God. For in these two laws, my friend, fulfilled in those two commandments, fulfill all the law of God. Amen. I'm sick and tired of people saying, well, we can't keep the law. I'm here to tell you to love the Lord and to love our neighbor as ourselves is the fulfilling, is what Paul said in Romans, my friend. And chapter number 13 and verse 10 is the fulfilling of all, A-double-L, all of the law. Now don't tell me, my friend, that we can't love one another. The only way we couldn't is if we're hypocrites, never been to Calvary and been saved. How in God's name can we love God whom we've never seen and yet not love our brother that sits on the pew right next to us? Bless your heart. Now I'm going to keep hammering that. Because I'm telling you, there's a couple of grudges in this building this morning that needs you don't have to get right. Better listen to what I'm telling you, friend. I know what God told me yonder in that upper room. Huh? Got to be made right. Paul said in Romans 13:10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Amen. You really love your neighbor? Amen. Worketh no ill. In other words, does no wrong, does no harm, Amen. Speaks no evil, right. Does not have a wagging tongue, does not Amen. Criticize, does not, oh yes sir, does not criticize or murmur against. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Hallelujah to God. So, yes, is the fulfilling of the law. Thy friend, you and I desperately need to learn that kind of a love. Now, bear with me. About 3 points and we're going to the house. The church should show forth love and affection for her beloved. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus. I'm afraid that we, like the Ephesian church, that we have left our first love. And I don't care what Jack Hyle said, and I don't care what John R. Rice said, and I don't care what Curtis Hudson said before he died. Leaving their first love was not winning souls. Leaving their first love, my friend, was leaving the feet of Jesus like Mary when she come to sit at the feet of Christ at His blessed feet and worship Him. Amen to God, because that she loved Him. And I'm telling you, we live in such a proud and an arrogant society that we know very little about sitting at the feet of Christ and humbling ourselves and sitting there and showing our love and our affection for the Lord Jesus. Amen. What was it Jesus said to Simon? Said, a man had two creditors and on one of them forgave a little and the other most. Which one loved him most? He said, I suppose the one that he forgave most. He said, you've spoken the right thing. And said, you didn't anoint my head with oil. You didn't give me no water for my feet. But said, ever since I've been in your house, this woman hath not failed to wash my feet with the tears of her eyes and wipe them with the hair of her head. Amen. Said, therefore, her sins, which were many, are forgiven. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, oh yes, unto God, the church ought to fall in love with Jesus all over again. We sang that old song this morning, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. I just about got beside of myself. I'm glad this morning He loved me enough, friend, to hide my soul in the cleft of the rock. And He's covered me there with the palm of His hand. Hallelujah. I found safety and refuge this morning from the wrath of God which is to come. Thank God I've not only escaped the wages of sin and death, but I've escaped the torments of hell this morning because my God loved me and gave Himself for me. And I tell you, He loved me, made it possible for me to love Him, and I want to love Him this morning with all my heart, mind, body, and soul. I'm not ashamed to identify myself with old-time religion and the love of the Lord Jesus. Son, amen to God. He's the keeper of my soul, the lover of my heart. Amen, the sealer of my soul. This morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Now listen to me. The church ought to show forth the love and affection for her beloved. Said in Song of Solomon 2:16, my beloved is mine and I'm his. Oh, what love and what affection. My beloved is mine and I'm his. Son, we ought to be able to go down life's pathway of singing that song. That thought ought to be on our heart My beloved is mine, and I am His. And truth of all truths, there is nothing in heaven nor in earth, nor beneath the earth, that can separate us from that very love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now hear me well. Now just stay with me. If we love Him like we ought, then we must provide a place for Him in our bosom. I said provide a place for Him in our bosom. Listen what the Song of Solomon in chapter 1 verse 13 says. A bundle of myrrh. You remember me preaching on that? A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night. Where, Brother Hall? Betwixt my breasts. Love and affection. That's where I want Him to lay, friend. I want Him to lay right in the very center of all my love and all my affection. I'm going to tell you the problem with us today. Son, we fell in love with the world and what it has to offer. And yet the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm afraid we love our possessions this morning, our popularity this morning, more than we love God. I wonder if some of you in here this morning would throw in the towel of all your possessions and your popularity. Quit worrying about what your peers think about you. Quit worrying about what your mommy and daddy thinks about you. Quit worrying about what some other church member might think about you. Throw in the towel this morning, my friend, and learn to love Jesus and worship at His blessed nail pierced feet this morning. He that doth on Calvary's tree to redeem your soul, let us make a place in our bosom for Him. Have you made a place in your heart for Him? When He was born in Bethlehem, they found no place at the inn. No room at the inn. I wonder if you've got room for Him this morning. Is your heart filled up with worldly desires? Fleshly pleasures? If you've become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now I'm here to tell you, you can say what you want, but that's where our God in America today. I'm so sick, son. I'm so sick. I want to say again, I am so sick of Olympic games and basketball games and football games. I looked on my taxes. I looked on the taxes on my little old van out there, and I think about $20-some on the van, the trap, and my car, $20 or $30 altogether, goes on school tax. I've been paying school tax, friend, ever since I've been in Madisonville. I pay almost $300 a year on my property I own for stinking school tax, and I've been here 13 years. I've never had a child in their school system, and I'm sick and tired of paying taxes for a bunch of naked kids to run up and down a ball court. Amen! And turn their own mamas and daddies into a bunch of infidels and hypocrites. Amen! By worshiping the very God of this world. I'm going to tell you what Kentucky's God is. It's a UK emblem with a wildcat stamped on it. You can lock it, lump it, hump it, bump it, son. Don't make any difference to me. I'm going to tell you, and the second God ain't far from it. That's that one-eyed devil that brings it into your living room, son. I'm telling you, we fell in love with the world and we're not willing to separate ourselves from the world that we might make a place in our bosom for the Lord Jesus. How can we not love Him this morning? Are y'all listening? Somebody asked me this morning, said, what do you think about releasing the oil and all that mess? I'm going to tell you why I think it's all out of hell. It's just like it was. Some of you are not old enough to remember the 1970s when the same infidel bunch of Democrats that we got up there now, and I'll say it again, you can lock it, lump it, hump it, or bump it, the same bunch of infidel Democrats said we was out of oil, didn't have no oil. So we're going to have to raise the taxes. I mean, we're going to have to raise the prices. I watched it in a few weeks, son, go from about 23 cents a gallon all the way up to 70 and 80 cents a gallon in about a month and a half because a bunch of infidels said we didn't have any oil.
That's where we're living now. I ain't got no oil. Got to raise the price of gasoline. Somebody said, what do you think about this morning? I'm going to tell you what I think about it. The love of money is still the root of all evil, son. And the only thing they're doing, they're in love with their God. And they want to inflate their God, which is money, and make Him just a little bigger. And I'm here to tell you, I'm so sick of it. Hallelujah to God, son. I'd be glad when commercial Babylon. Are you listening to me? Have you? I'd be glad when commercial Babylon has cast into hell, my friend, and cooked alive with the devil and all those other imps. I said, who are you mad at this morning? Sin and Satan. That's where America's living. The love of money is the root of all evil. There ain't no shortage of oil. That bunch of Arabs over there want to put a few bucks on their pocket, and Slick Willie's going to let them. That's right. I'm going to tell you what I'd do if they fooled me. I'd blow them all into hell, buddy. I'd drop a bomb on them and amen to God. And that Win Ho Chung or whatever stinking name is that sold us out to China, I'd fry that egg sucker right along with them. Amen. Somebody said, you're mean this morning. Well, let's call me whatever you want to call me. Man, give away a bunch of top secret information and don't know how he done it. You're going to tell me a man that works for the federal government in such a place as that don't know enough about computers to don't know what happened to it? I guess just laying out there somewhere. Yes, laying out there, all right. Laying in the hands of Ho Chi Minh, bless God, they'd resurrect it. Amen! And it's all about money! It's all about possessions! It's all about pleasures. It's all about the world. And I'm here to tell you, it's time God's people, my friend, closed up their bosom to the world and made a place in it for our beloved. Amen. Hallelujah. I won't say secondly, not only must we provide a place in our bosom for Him, but He protects if we're really saved. You listen to me now. If you're saved this morning, He will protect your bosom from other intruders. Your two little breasts that are like twins, He protects them from all intruders, friend. And you know, don't you realize that Christ guards the door of our hearts? Well, we got to understand in the day now that when we got saved by the grace of God, that we're just there fighting a battle all of our own. You know, and we got to try to ward off all the enemy of our own. That's what some of you's problems is right now. You've tried to fight off the enemy with your own power and strength rather than letting Christ set up a sentinel at your heart to protect intruders, my friend, from invading the privacy of your heart and disturbing the love affair that we have with Christ Almighty. You see, you start letting other things into your life, into your heart, it'll disturb the love affair that we have with Jesus. I don't want to be ugly, and I'll just use my wife and I. Now, I know it's 12:30. I might preach till 2 o'clock and send you home. But I'm going to tell you something. My wife and I, unless it's one of the grandkids that we prevails over, we just don't let somebody else crawl in our bed. When I left to go to Brother Brown's and knew that Tammy and Steve would be staying in our house, I locked my bedroom door. Place is sacred to me, buddy, and holy. And I'm going to tell you, when my wife and I go in there to go to bed, we don't put 3 or 4 grown adults in bed with us. Are you listening to me? It'd be kind of hard for me to kiss her goodnight on the cheek with 7 or 8 other men laying between me and her, wouldn't it? And I'm going to tell you how in God's name do some of you expect to kiss Him goodnight? How do you expect to kiss Him good morning if there's intruders that has invaded your heart? Now, don't leave me. I've got a verse for you on that. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, and verse number 6. He said, Jesus said, set me as the seal upon thine heart. And a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Hear what it said? Love is as strong as death. My beloved is mine and I am His. Son, love is as strong as death. You know how strong death is? It is going to get you. Love will get you. Son, His love done got me. Oh, yes, His love got me. I'll never forget that Sabbath morning in 1970. But the Holy Ghost of God, so good to my soul, escorted me, my friend, up that cobblestone walk in Jerusalem by faith and set me down at the very feet of the darling Son of God. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes, escorted me into the presence of Christ and introduced me to His wonderful love. Cross love, my friend, is worth more than all the world has to offer. It's strong as death. Jealousy as cruel as a grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a vehement flame. I'm going to tell you something. Our love ought to boil. Hallelujah to God. I'm going to run it by you again. It ought to boil. Son, we ain't even got any steam coming out of us. I got to hurry. It's almost 12:30. Our passion for Him ought to be boundless. I read this verse of Scripture last night. I'm going to be honest. I never got it like this. But oh, and how it thrilled my soul, Brother Steve. I'm talking about it ought to be boundless. We are to show forth our love for Him at all times, in all places, and in all situations. How many of you, my friend, when you're out in public, try to hold His love in, or try to conceal your love for Him? Come on now. We'll get down to the road in a minute. Song of Solomon chapter 7 verse 10 through 12 said, I am my beloved's and His desire is toward me. Son, like Benny said in Sunday school, we are the apple of His eye and His entire desire is toward us. Everything that He accomplished when he departed the glory of heaven and came to this world was for you and I, for old sinners. Purchased the church with His own blood. Behold, the stripes on His back. The nail-pierced hands and feet. Can you this morning see His brow with drops of blood, my friend, streaming from His forehead down across His eyes and nose and His cheeks? His desire is toward you. And I'm afraid that Christ of the church is like a young man in love to a young maiden that wants nothing to do with him. You ever seen a young man like that that's been so in love with a young woman that he'll chase her all over the country, and yet her love is the love of a whore. She chases everybody else. I wonder if our love for Christ hadn't gotten there. His desire is to us, but it seems like our desire is to everything and everybody but Him. Said, come, my beloved. This is what she says. Come, my beloved. Let us go forth to the end of the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. Listen to this. She said, there will I give thee my loves. Plural. Where, Brother Hall? In the lodging places. In the villages, out yonder in the vineyard, that's where I'll give you my love. But especially when the vines are flourishing, when the grapes are budding out and the vines are flourishing. Oh yes, my friend, she said, that's when I'll give you my loves. Hallelujah to God. If I know anything about the Bible, she is saying, wherever I may be, whatever situation I may be in, that's where I want to give my love to Almighty God. I'll never forget it, and I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell you it's worth telling again. I'll never forget the day I was up at the hospital on that elevator. Stepped onto that elevator, my friend, and it was packed with people. And somebody pushed a button, and that elevator started up, and somebody in there said, I wonder if this elevator will hold all of us. There's a little old black woman standing right in the middle of it, Brother Jerome. Didn't have a tooth in her head. I mean, I have a tooth in her head. She said, I ain't worried about the elevator.
She said, what I want to know is anybody in this thing love Jesus today?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. When was the last time that we let somebody know that we loved Jesus and was not ashamed of His love, whether in public, private, church house, or wherever we might be, we're in love with Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. I won't say secondly. I'll try to hurry. I think the church should show forth love and affection not only for the beloved, but for the brotherhood. Thy two breasts, said, thy two breasts are like two young roses that are twins, which feed among the lilies. I think there will be a little love and affection for the brotherhood, don't you? If we can't love our brother whom we have seen, how in heaven's name are we going to love Christ whom we have never seen? Did you not overlook somebody's faults and failures and flaws? I'm not talking about overlooking their sin. I'm talking about overlooking their little personality conflicts and little flaws in their character maybe. They're just not as mature as what somebody else is. We're quick to judge and jump on them. Oh, I'm here to tell you, friend, we ought to love the brotherhood. Yes, sir. Yeah, it's time that we quit fiddling around, man. Got our hearts right with one another. Amen to God. You've heard this scripture a dozen times. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, most of us want to stop that verse right there. But there's a second half to it. John goes on to say, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
Amen.
You've never been saved, friend.
Right.
Our love for one another is a testimony of His divine grace working in our life. Somebody said, how you know you're saved? Do you love your brother?
Amen.
That's how you can know it. Somebody said, oh, I know I'm saved because I spoke in tongues. Give me some real Bible, tongue wagger.
Amen.
Well, I know I've been saved because I took the sacrament. No, I've been saved because I've been baptized. Kiss Mary's big toe.
Amen.
Pray to prayer. I know that Jesus lived and died and rose for me. I used to say as a country boy, big hairy deal. What's next?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you how I know I'm saved. Son, because I was there at Calvary.
Amen.
To start with, when He ransomed my soul and brought me in. But son, He has given me a love for the house of God and for the people of God. Therefore, I don't hobnob with every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the country. I don't run with that crowd out yonder that chews, dips, cusses, drinks, carouses. I don't go to the football games, basketball games. Don't go to the movie houses. Oh no, my friend. I go to the house of God because my love is there. The brethren are there. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. As the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Are you listening to me? Son, I'm going to tell you, I like to go. If a man's really saved, the love of the brethren draw him to church. How can it not? You know one way I know I love Mrs. Hall? I like to spend time at 1413 Island Ford Road. And where she goes, I follow. I walked in the other day and she was sitting in the bathroom and I just stuck my head, just reached the door and she said, I'll be out in a minute. I just checking on her. I love her. I want to be where she's at. Don't you want to be around the brotherhood? What joy does a person get sitting out in a crowd of cussing him and spitting all over him? Cussing God? And I'm going to tell you something else.
Not only is a testimony of God's divine grace, but our love for one another is a witness to those around us of His divine grace working in us.
Amen.
Somebody said, where do you get that, preacher? John 13:35. And so many times, all we look at it is about disciples. But I'm going to tell you what the book says. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How, Brother Hall? If you have love one for another. Now, I'm going to tell you how we can witness to that crowd out there that we're His disciples by loving each other, friend.
Amen.
At the house, oh, thy two breasts. Your breasts are like two young roses, even twins. Love and affection, can't separate them.
Amen.
What a witness it is to that crowd out yonder.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That we've been regenerated by the power of God. Sang that old song, Blessed Be the Ties That Bind. You know what the binding element of our faith is? Love!
Amen.
We've got a mutual interest in Christ and a mutual interest in one another.
Amen.
It's love, friend. I'm going to say thirdly, our love for one another is well-pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. Listen to what He said. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. That's a commandment. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. As I've loved you, love one another. You mean to tell me that we're to have that kind of love and affection in the house of God? That we're to love each other just like Christ loved us? Now, I'm going to get down. Just stand back now. Just hang on. Hold on tight. Somebody said, well, preacher, how long in heaven's name should we... what kind of love is that? Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because He laid His life down for us. And we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. I wonder if we really do that. I wonder if we lay our life down for Brother Steve tonight. I'm going to tell you what, friends. It's just about, hey, are you listening to me? It is just about a major chore to get church members to carry food to folks that's had death in their families. You can't only get church members to help out and bring food and work for people that have been laid up, sick, hurt, can't take care of them. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And we talk about love. I'm going to be honest with you. We know very little about it, Brother Andy. When I think about the love of Christ, had no place to lay His head. Slept most of the time under the stars. Went without food. And everything that He did in this life, He did for others.
Amen. That's right.
Not one miracle did He ever perform for Himself. Not one.
Amen.
I know it's slow, but it's all right.
Amen.
I want to say in closing, the church should show forth love and affection for the blind. I'm not talking about the physically blind either. I wonder if we really love sinners today. I'm going to tell you what Brother Paul said, and you read it. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. I never saw that word continual sorrow. I have continual sorrow in my heart.
Amen.
I wonder if we really do. Oh, Brother Tim Perry preached at Brother Gene's on Thursday. He said, the reason we don't have a problem, he said, we don't see what Jesus sees. We don't hear what Jesus hears. We don't feel what Jesus feels. Paul said, I've got continual sorrow. I'm going to tell you, we can watch people drop off into hell and laugh about it.
If we're going to show that love and affection, we're going to have to go. Now, I'm fixing to skin some of you right here. Right. I want everybody to wake up and get your eyeballs open. Now. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
We're going to have to go.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Preacher, I can't go. God's not called me to go." What's wrong with your pocketbook?
Right.
I think last week our mission offering was $26. $26. But so let me run it by you again. $26. That ain't 50 cents a piece. What about going in prayers? Going in purse and going in prayers. Anybody? You ought to go. Everybody ought to go by out there and read those. I bet you a number of you in here has never even looked at the prayer letters or read one of them.
Amen.
And we support those people.
Right.
What little bit we can. Let me ask you something, Mom and Daddy. How would you feel if it was your son on the mission field and somebody sent him 50 cents? Let her soak. I ain't nowhere in the word either. Not only go, but go with tears.
Amen.
He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Amen.
When was the last time we really wept over sinners? Where is our burden? I'm going to tell you something. We don't have a burden. We put $26 in the offering for missions because we don't love lost people.
Amen.
And if you haven't told anybody about God and you haven't put a dime in the mission, what are you doing for lost sinners?
Amen.
Somebody told me just the other night, I said, "Preacher, it just seems like they are something. It's missing." I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a heartfelt burden for people around us and trying to get people into the house of God. That's it. We do not have a burden to get people in the house of God. And it's manifest in our efforts and our work. And I'm not talking about a glorified Thursday night visitation program. Thursday night might work. We ever get some sorrow in our heart. Love for the beloved, brotherhood, and the blind. The love and affection of the church. Let's stand together.